With the glow of the fire before us and our seats properly taken, I think it's time for another story about the fireside. So, who'd like to tell one? Why, my good friends, look, it's Captain Molden Foxskull. I didn't know you were going to be here, Molden. I would have had you come down and sit for dinner, but is the Audrin here with you? There's no need to worry, my dear heart. I'm merely passing through, and I don't have much time, but enough time to tell a story worth the hearing. Now, sit you all down, especially you, my good sir, and relax. Greetings, my dear hearts. As Mr. Coriander said, I am Captain Molden Foxskull, Captain of the Black Aldrin, and my story happened many, many years ago, when I was just a youth of... Oh, goodness, how old was I? Mr. Coriander, how old was I when I was on the Yellow Aldrin and you were still captain? Well, my goodness gracious, that was years ago. You were 18, maybe? 19? Oh, you were such a sharp young thing then, at the crack of a whip. goodness, that seems just like yesterday, doesn't it? Time, Mr. Coriander, flows so mysteriously. Fast this second and slow the next. A day can feel like an eternity, and a lifetime but a moment. Yes, now that I think of it, I'm sure you were right. I was about 18 or 19 when I was on the Yellow Aldrin. An initiate under the Yellow Aldrin's Star Watcher, a man by the name of Bulgair. Now, one particular occasion, I was requested to deliver a parcel to a privateer vessel that was currently in flight. Honestly, nothing remarkable, but definitely urgent. And I saddled my bird and took flight immediately, promising to return before the Yellow Aldrin landed at our next destination. The flight was pleasant and unremarkable, and I delivered a large parcel without delay. In fact, I had some extra time on my hands, and learned that aboard this particular privateer vessel, a trade vessel, mind you, they celebrated a curious tradition. At a particular point in their 2-year route, they would come to a strange river that flowed uphill. They would follow this river for a single night, and the captain swore to me that when they followed that river, they arrived at their next destination an entire day early. And so, they followed it. And during this single night, the whole crew would stay awake, they would drink and feast, tell stories and play games and dance. It was a right smashing party, they said. Now, as I was a student of the arcane, the whole thing smelt strongly of magic, and I asked if I could join in the celebration. They readily agreed, and there I found myself standing about a brazier of fire with a warm drink in my hands, a song on my lips, and a dancing skip in my heart. It was a jolly good time, at least it started that way. As we feasted and danced, there came a stranger upon the deck of the ship. He appeared as suddenly and mysteriously as anything I'd ever seen. One moment, an empty corner, and the next, there he was. And he was enormous. 8 feet tall and as broad as a door, but wrapped in a thick wool cloak with his hood up. He stepped forth from the shadows, walking slowly out of his little corner, and came straight up to my fire, that I and a few others stood about, and no sooner had he done so, but all about us, the festivities immediately halted, having seen this giant come into our presence. "May I warm myself by your fire?" he asked. For a moment, no one responded, and I, the foolish youth that I was, but still confident in my arcane training, said, "Of course. Our fire belongs to all who bring no ill will upon this ship and its crew." And the giant man nodded once and pulled his hood to reveal his face. And it was green. Not the shade or woody texture of a green heart, but like that of tarnished copper. And he smiled and reached his bluish-green hands across the fire and placed them almost into the coals themselves. At this point, the captain came forward and demanded an explanation, but the giant did not answer them. In fact, it seemed as if the giant could not hear them, but turned to me and said, "May I have something to drink? My throat is so dry." I motioned at that moment for the captain and the rest of the crew to sit back, and I told the giant, "Yes, you may, for there is always drink for those that wish no ill towards this ship and its crew." And we brought the giant a bucket full of the wine the crew and myself had been drinking. The giant man raised the bucket into the air and cried, "A toast!" And we all likewise raised our cups. "A toast," the giant said again, "to the Empire and our beloved Imprax. May they live 1,000 years under the light of the Sovereign." And he drank the whole bucket in a single gulp. And the rest of the crew went to take their drink, but I raised my hand and I stopped them immediately. And when I'd made sure none of them drank, I myself took a small sip. Now at this, the giant's eyes narrowed at me, but he sat quiet and in silence. And I turned to the captain and I asked, "Is this how this usually goes?" And they said, no, this was new. This had never happened before. And they wondered who this giant might be. Now, I could not have been sure at the time, but I had heard stories in the northern parts of the rediscovered world about a great empire that stood there before the stars fell, and of the ruins that they had left behind, of whole cities made of copper and brass. Now, the stories of this empire had mostly been lost to the world when the stars fell, but there was one story that I, and I'm sure every Erinner, knew, and that was of the ship called the Vedantia. They say the Vedantia was the first ship to ever take to the skies without the aid of Featherweave. They say the Vedantia was to be the great might of this long-forgotten empire, but that it suddenly and mysteriously disappeared right before the stars fell. They say that the Skyjacks of the North had seen the Vedantia in their skies, held aloft by light and wreathed in flame, and that if any ship got too close, they were never heard from again. Now, I could not be sure, mind you, but I surmised that this fellow must have been from the Vedantia, and so I determined that I would ask him. And I opened my mouth, but barely had I done so, when the giant said to me, "May we play a game?" And I replied, "Yes, but only to those who will not seek ill will upon this ship or her crew may play." The giant frowned at me for a long moment, but then he brightened and nodded his agreement. And I stood forth and said, "Three times we have agreed to your requests, and 3 times you have agreed to mine. You are bound to bring no ill to this ship and its crew. Do you understand?" And the giant smiled and nodded and said, "I understand, and I've sworn 3 times, little magician, that I will bring no ill to this ship or her crew, but you are not of this ship or this crew." And the giant's smile widened to show brass teeth sharpened to points. And he said, "You and I will play, and the winner will live and walk upon the ground and smell the grass and feel the cool wind in their face, and the loser will go and crew upon the Vedantia forever." And with that, the giant put forth his mighty hand that I might shake it. The crew was silent, mouths agape, and hearts failing them, as I reached forward to take the giant's hand, but pulled it back and said, "But I will choose the game," and then, slyly, I shook it. At this, the giant frowned, his greenish face masked suddenly in rage, but he shook my hand with teeth clenched. "What shall we play?" he asked. And I pulled out my luminary deck and explained that each of us would pull 1 card, and whichever fortune was more favorable would win. I held up my deck to him, and he pulled a single card, and then I pulled mine, not looking at mine, before making a gesture in his direction. Now the giant took this to show his card, and with too wide a grin, he showed me he had pulled the Changeling. Not the best card, mind you, not the best fortune, but not the worst either. And then he motioned for me to show my card, And with a trembling hand, I held up my card, not looking at it, mind you, and threw it and the rest of my deck over the side as it floated into the wind, lost in the darkness forever. The crew gasped, and the giant roared that I had cheated him. But I reminded the giant that the game was to draw cards. I never specified we had to show them. He had done that on his own. And as such, we could now only speculate what fortune I had drawn, for I had never looked at it. Therefore, neither of us won, and yet neither of us had lost. The giant stood and screamed at me and raised the bucket to smash my skull. But just as he had done that, a light began to creep over the side of the ship. At first I thought it was dawn, but it was too close and far too hot. And from over the side of our vessel rose like a beast from an age long past, beyond description, a ship that rode upon light and was wreathed in flame. It was the Verdantia itself. And the giant's anger melted away, and he ran for the opposite side of the ship to escape, to fling himself into the darkness. But no sooner had he made it to the railing than there was a flash of blinding light, a wave of heat, and the scream of the giant as he was pulled back to the Verdantia. And as suddenly as it had appeared, it was gone, leaving only a scorch mark on the wooden deck and spots dancing in front of our eyes. And to this day, mind you, my friends, I have kept that changeling card as a reminder to myself that sometimes the best way to win is to never play at all. Goodness, by the lumens, Malden. What a fantastic story. Thank you. You know, that is one of my favorites. Oh, I know, old friend. Now, if you will excuse me, I must be off. I say, is this mug made of silver?
Oh, I do believe it is.
Well, do you mind if, I hang on to it, then?
Of course not, Malden. It's yours.
Excellent. Good night, my dear hearts. Be safe, be good, but most of all, be wondrous.